All right, if you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 21. We're going to jump ahead a little bit as far as the pages of Scripture, because the passages that we're jumping or over speak of Ahab, and my study has been on Elijah. But up till now, it's always been Elijah and Ahab. And this is the last time the two of these people will come in contact with each other. Throughout the course of this study and throughout the course of their lives, their meetings have always been from Ahab's perspective, confrontative. It's always been over an issue of sin that Elijah has brought to his attention. From Elijah's perspective, though, it hasn't been as much confrontative as carefrontative. Here's a man I care about who's living in sin that the Lord wants to be converted. So while he addresses the issue of sin, it's for the purpose of changing him around. This will be the last time that he will see him. In between, Ahab has coveted Naboth's vineyard. He couldn't get Naboth to sell it to him because it was to remain in the family, and that wouldn't be according to the will of God. But Jezebel says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of things. And she did. She had Naboth killed. Consequently, Ahab takes over the thing. So Ahab has been guilty of more sin. Beginning at verse 17, 1 Kings 21, beginning at verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? Now, notice here the question, have you killed? Technically, Ahab did not. Jezebel did, but with Ahab's blessing. So he was a co-conspirator. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall the dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Now remember, this is right on the heels of what has taken place with the slaying of Naboth. We're not talking time of in between.
This is before the prophets were killed, right?
This is after.
Oh, after.
Yes. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and I will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisses against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. Him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. That went softly, this literally he took his shoes off, went around not making a noise. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. The question then becomes, here is Elijah coming. He's confronting him with sin about Naboth's vineyard. And he proclaims what the Lord is going to do. Your house is going to be cut off. Eventually you are going to die, and all your posterity, your children, are going to die too. There will not be any that will follow you on the throne. Your kingdom is coming to an end. Ahab hears these words. He's humbled by them. The question then becomes, did he become a believer? It says here, see how Ahab humbleth himself before me. Is that equivalent to being saved? Well, let's look at the opportunities that Ahab had. He personally witnessed Bible prophecy coming to pass in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. Elijah comes to him. He says, it's not going to rain until I say so. And I won't say so until God says so. So that's the way it's going to be. And Ahab, nah, yeah, right. Who do you think you are that can make it rain and not rain? And for 3.5 years, guess what happened? It didn't rain. Well, that is an undeniable miracle. And Ahab witnessed it. He saw the truth in God's word that Elijah delivered to him that came to pass. He personally witnessed a display of the mighty power of God in 1 Kings 18 when you have the confrontation on Mount Carmel. Here are all the prophets of Baal, and they're jumping up and down and doing their thing and cutting themselves and calling down Baal to do something, and nothing happens. Elijah goes, he repairs the altar of God, prays. Fire comes down out of heaven, consumes what is impossible because it's been drenched with water. And another miracle, undeniable miracle, has been done in his presence. Now he's seen the mighty power of God. He's seen the truth of God's word. He's seen the power of God to act. He's witnessed those things. No change of heart. He personally witnessed the failure of Jezebel's threat. They get back to Jezreel. Jezebel hears what Ahab or Elijah had done. She said, and may the gods do to me even more if by tomorrow we don't get his life. Well, how well did the gods of Baal do? Didn't do a thing. He saw that those false gods were false, that they had no power whatsoever. So here's a God who speaks the truth, who does whatever he does, even if it's physically impossible. And here's the gods that we believe and they don't work. And he still wasn't converted. And then he personally witnessed the miraculous deliverance from the armies of Syria. Now, we didn't cover that again because it deals with Ahab and not with Elijah. But in 1 Kings 20, the armies of Syria are attacking. And every time God is intervening, and it's because God is protecting the nation of Israel. And Ahab learns that it's Jehovah that's doing this. He learns of God's truth, of God's power, and God's mercy. And he's still unconverted. And then he goes and has Naboth killed. Now comes Elijah and says, man, you're going to die as well as your family. And Ahab, when he meets Elijah in verse 20, he says, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? Doesn't sound like he's too friendly with a man of God, does it? Calls him his enemy. That doesn't sound like a believer. Well, he hasn't heard the word yet. Maybe he'll yet repent. Verse 20, Ahab sold himself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, this is commentary, but nonetheless, it's his condition. He sold out to do evil. He's given himself over to sin. And we don't see any repentance here yet. Not only that, in verse 22, it says, and he made Israel to sin. He not only did it himself, but he took delight in people that were doing it and says, guys, this is how we must act. Contrary to what the law of Moses states. And remember, although Jezebel was a foreigner, Ahab was an Israelite. He would have had some knowledge of the Mosaic regulations. Verse 25, he sold himself to do wickedness. In verse 26, he did very abominably in following idols. And by this point in time, the message has been pronounced upon him. And we don't see a change yet. Did Ahab become a believer? Well, now he hears this message and he humbles himself. Rents his clothes, puts sackcloth on, fasted, laid around, walked without shoes on, not to create a sound. I take it there was some self-introspection going on. But did he truly repent? I think there was some outward idea of repentance. But about 800 years later, a man by the name of John, known as John the Baptist, would come along preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the people in droves came out to John to be baptized with him. But when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came out, hey, we want to be baptized too. What did John say to them? Bring forth
works of repentance.
Fruits of repentance. Show me that it's more than just doing something like this. And they went away. John would not baptize them. Did Ahab truly repent? Well, we get into chapter 22, and I'm not going to look at it, but we have him and Jehoshaphat coming together to war against the Syrians. According to the first verse, there were 3 years of peace between the end of verse 21 and the beginning of verse 22. And they get this coalition because the Syrians are now threatening them, and Ahab says, go with me to war against the Syrians. And he brought his prophets of Baal to prophesy before him. Well, wait a minute. Hold the bus. If you had truly repented, would you be bringing the prophets of Baal to bring about whether they were going to succeed or not? And of course, all the prophets of Baal said exactly what the king wanted him to say. And Jehoshaphat comes along and he says, is there not yet a prophet of Jehovah here that we can ask him? What does Ahab say? There is one. His name is Micaiah and I hate him. Hold on a minute. You hate a person who teaches you the word of God? Does that sound like a believer? Well, what was with Micaiah? Well, he goes on to say, Micaiah never had anything good to say about me.
Wonder why?
I wonder why. Because there was nothing good to say about him. No, Ahab never came to faith. I think it was in the heart of Elijah. In every one of those times he came to Ahab, that he would truly repent. And I think especially after the Mount Carmel incident, there was once again this kind of outward, because as I said before, Elijah said to him, okay, I want you to go up on the mountain, I want you to eat, I want you to get down off the mountain, and Ahab did everything that Elijah was telling him to do. I think there was some essence of, hey, maybe this guy's got something going on here. But it was never truly a turning over of his heart to the Lord in faith. Well, Jezebel was the one who stirred up all these things. But remember also, Garden of Eden, God comes to Adam. And he says, Adam, what's going on here? And Adam says, it's the wife. Did she do something? Yeah, she did. And he goes to Eve and he said, what's going on here? And she goes, it's the snake. And was the snake held responsible? And where did the judgment of God fall?
On everybody.
The snake was as guilty as Eve. Who was as guilty as Adam? Yeah, Jezebel was the antagonist here. But Ahab never exercised his will and said, wait a minute, this isn't right. What do we learn about this? I think there are some lessons that we can learn about God from this whole confrontation or carefrontation. Number one, God is not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Consequently, he's long-suffering. This intercourse that Ahab had with Elijah lasted over years, multiple times. And each time, Ahab was given opportunity to come to faith. Second chance, third chance, fourth chance. It's not a turn or burn. It's turn and hope you live long enough to have another chance if you don't.
Pastor, was Jehoshaphat righteous?
Yes.
Okay.
He had this one mistake of lining up with Ahab, but he was a godly man otherwise. Secondly, God does not delight in the death of the wicked. We see that here. Judgment must come. Here's an unbeliever. He sold himself to do wickedness. He's had opportunity after opportunity, and he's run out of opportunities. But yet at the end, you see the compassion of God. Okay, here he has humbled himself. It does not say in the end of verse 29, because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil, period. It says, I will not bring the evil in his days, but it's coming. You can't avert the justice, but God does show mercy. Takes no delight. Number three, repentance over a sin is not the same as repentance over sin. I think what Ahab was repenting was the Naboth vineyard thing. Oh, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have had him killed. If I didn't do that, he wouldn't be coming here. Yes, he would have, because you have sold yourself to do evil. There would have been some other instance. And here, if anything, if the repentance was genuine, it was just over a sin, but not sinfulness. And there's a great difference. Number four, repentance without faith is not repentance at all, and does not avert the judgments of God. Okay, say the repentance over Naboth's vineyard was real. But does he trust in the God then to forgive him? A trust in the God who is sovereign? And the answer is, nah, never trusted him. Got to do whatever he wants to do. And consequently, it did not avert the judgment of God. And finally, the judgment of God upon sin is just in regards to the quantity and severity of the sin committed. You had Naboth killed. Guess who else is going to die? And it's interesting when you get into 1 Kings chapter 22. I said I wasn't going to go into this, but I just about did anyway. They go out to battle. And Ahab goes up to Jehoshaphat and says, you know what? You put yourself in your kingly clothes. And you stand around here. And I'm going to disguise myself.
He was trying to set him up.
Mm-hmm, he was.
God was like, nope.
And so you have the Syrian coming along, and he just takes a bow and shoots it. Guess where it lands?
Right in Ahab.
Right in Ahab. Ahab gets in the chariot, get me out of here, and dies. And the chariot takes him back to the very place that Elijah said, where the dogs licked up the blood. And the dogs came along, and they licked up the blood in the chariot. Yeah. God is a God of justice. What can we learn about Elijah? Two things. Number one, one failure does not necessarily disqualify the child of God from future service. Elijah blew it after Mount Carmel. Rather than going in and him saying to Jezebel, here's what God did, he allowed Ahab to go in and state the case, and Ahab wasn't going to get it right. He gets depressed. He goes out. He's out of the will of God going down to Mount Horeb, Sinai. He's out of the will of God. God restores him, but you blew it. You're done. No, he wasn't. Wouldn't it be nice if once we come to faith in Christ that we never sin again? Wouldn't it be nice if we never fail? But we do. And does God say, that's it. I've had it with you. You messed up once. That's enough. And he gives us opportunity after opportunity to serve him. And Elijah did. Number two, the prophet of God. As Elijah was. Now, again, I don't believe there are modern day prophets, but I'll use it as the proclaimer of God's truth, can speak the word of God with great force. You look at Elijah's words here. He didn't mamby-pamby around. You're going to die. And yet he did it without being obnoxious. We can speak with grace and with mercy. Because that's what God does. God has every right to be just a tyrant in his words to us. But when he speaks words of grace. Yes, words of judgment that bring us to the point where, hey, if I repent, forgiveness is at hand. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, there's a lesson that we can learn tonight. Let's pray. Father, I wonder how many people in our lives have had opportunities to hear from us of your goodness and have had stone-cold hearts just like Ahab. Maybe at a time or two they've had some sense of repentance, some sense of guilt from a sin or sins, but never from sin itself, because they've never really trusted in a God who forgives. Lord, help us to be faithful in the opportunities that we have that we might speak with grace and mercy, and yet forcefully declaring the judgment of God upon sin, that the world might know that there is consequence to living a life without Christ. And that they might see in us the goodness of God in forgiveness and want to be a child of God. To that end, make us profitable servants in the days that lie before us. And we'll praise you for all that you do. So we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.